This is Talk Is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio, with my squeaky chair in the background. All right, this week, Laura from graywateraction.org is going to tell us about how easy it is to install a gray water system in your house and how important not wasting water is and keeping within Earth's cycles is. And then I have a special report from El Shabaab. You know, these groups come up because of multinational corporate exploitation in these areas all around the world, is why these guerrilla groups, these counterinsurgency groups, show up. So it's just important to keep that in mind. So we have a report from a member of El Shabaab, and we also have Neil Gorsuch talking about the Trump trials, all the trials in the Supreme Court, and how important that is, and what else? Also the Chinese have landed on the moon. Their spacecraft crashed. So we also have a report on that, all after the graywateradvocates.org. Very important organization. Please support graywateradvocates.org. And then several news reports after that. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. All right, I'm here with Laura Allen of Graywater Action, and she's going to tell us about graywater, how you can save water by using your graywater from your house around your garden and for various other things, right? What does Graywater Action do?
So Graywater Action, we're an educational nonprofit, and we teach people how to simply reuse water. We focus on what I call low-tech or simple designs, though we like to educate about all the options of how to reuse water. We do gray water mostly, but we also teach people about rainwater harvesting and waterless toilets.
All right, so are there any projects that are really a showcase for you that you want to talk about?
Well, we're trying to reduce barriers for using this resource, and so we have a lot of resources on our website. We do workshops and trainings, so we don't have any on the calendar right now. We train professionals, and on our website we have a list of people who are trained. So we're trying to kind of connect the dots of, like, homeowners, if they're do-it-yourselfers, giving them the resources so they can put in these systems themselves. If they're not, so they can find people. We work with regulators trying to make regulations safe and with fewer barriers so these systems can be affordable.
All right, and so In rainwater, I know the Plumbing Association got involved in rainwater harvesting, and so now you have to have this Rube Goldberg contraption to collect rainwater, and it's to sell more pipe. You know, the plumbing manufacturers did this so they could sell more pipe. I don't know if that's a fact, but that was my own observation. What are the rules and regulations? How difficult is it to put a graywater system in your house?
So I'm glad you brought up rainwater, because rainwater, you know, falls from the sky. It's very clean. If you catch it, make sure the water doesn't get dirty going into your tank. You can store it and use it later. And the regulations are quite simple for that, usually, though, of course, it depends on your situation. Without a permit, you can store, I believe it's up to 5,000 gallons, and use that without spraying it. You know, there's guidelines around that, but there are ways to simply and legally use rainwater. Gray water is a different source of water. So that's water that you already used in your home. You, like, washed your hands with it, so it's coming from sinks, showers, baths, and washing machines. So it is a little bit dirty, but if you're managing what soaps you use, then you can use it for irrigation. There's simple ways you can take that water, like from your laundry machine, and just redirect it without even changing your plumbing, so you don't need a plumbing permit. You can redirect it outside. Regulations around gray water really vary state by state. Some states don't require any permitting for really simple systems, just guidelines of how to do it safely, whereas other states like Oregon requires a mail-in permit with the Department of Environmental Quality, so you have to, you know, outline your system, how you're doing it, complying with basic health and safety guidelines, and then you can get a permit for that through the state.
And this is both gray water and rainwater?
No, they're regulated quite differently.
So gray water, you said, I lost you, you said that you can put, in some cases, you can just run a pipe out from under your house.
With gray water or rainwater?
With gray water, yeah.
So gray water, you know, going out to irrigation, if you're just your own home, your own yard, there are states that don't require a permit for that, though you have to follow basic guidelines. In Oregon, you do need a permit. It's through the state, so it's a mail-in permit, and you have to, you know, document where you're putting the water, make sure you're not too close to creeks, for example, because you could pollute a creek if you put gray water into it, or too close to your neighbor's property. There's different guidelines to help you make your system so it's not going to cause problems for yourself or for other people.
Right, but doesn't it have to be underground? It has to be six inches underground because of the bacteria that are in this water.
Yeah, so gray water is not potable. You don't want to drink it. It's dirty. It's gone through the slimy pipes. But for your plants, it's a great source of irrigation water. So there's precautions like keeping it underground so it comes out below the ground so no one would accidentally contact that water, but the plants can benefit from it.
Well, but it's also, you're trying to keep air. Air creates this bacteria, grows more when there's air. This is, it's an anaerobic bacteria versus aerobic bacteria.
That's really kind of a non-consideration with a residential gray water system. You're really just trying to, well, backing up for a minute.
You're trying to keep kids from touching it.
Then. Yeah, it's not clean water.
Is why you're burying it so that people don't touch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's got your skin, when you take a shower, you're shedding skin and things
like
that.
Yeah, it's not clean water.
But also, so now also, it originally when I first saw gray water, they were telling you to use the worst soap possible because there's phosphates in the soap. And this is why rivers were foaming up in the 70s, 60s, and 70s because the phosphates were going in the rivers and causing foam and killing the rivers. So this is what you don't want a lot. Plants want the phosphates, right? But we don't want to put too much phosphates. So this is why you're talking about what soaps to use.
Yeah, soaps is really important consideration. Phosphates are kind of a different issue because they're such a pollutant. They're really have a lot of nutrients, so they cause algae to grow and they damage rivers and ecosystems. So they're banned in most places, though not everywhere. So if you just go buy soaps, you're never going to get one with phosphates in it. So you kind of don't have to worry about that. But what you're bringing up is nutrients, because phosphorus is a nutrient great for plants, so they don't mind that high level of nutrients, whereas a creek sure does. It really hurts the creek. There's also nitrogen and organic matter that breaks down that is nutrients. And when we put nutrients into our landscape, we call that fertilizer. That's good for our plants. But if those nutrients go into the river, the creek, the ocean, you know, that causes algae to grow. That's pollution. So keeping that in our minds, like where if you have nutrients in your water, like gray water does have low levels of nutrients in it, going to your plants is a good thing. Whereas we don't want that to get into the creeks or rivers. The other consideration with gray water is salts. Salts and boron. Those are two things that are often in cleaning products and possibly laundry detergents. They're non-toxic. You know, we put salt on our food. Ocean's full of salt. Boron is non-toxic also in terms of like harming things out in the water systems. But it is a microtoxin to plants. And if salt builds up, that can damage your plants. So gray water has this like, really unique consideration. I like to call it products plant friendly because they're it's a little different than just being like biodegradable or ecological or, you know, say ocean safe or river or human safe. For example, the salts, that's totally, you know, fine for us but not good for our plants. So we want to use plant friendly products. They aren't too hard to find. You just have to know what to look for. If you're in your laundry detergents, you're going to use liquid laundry detergents or kind of an alternative detergent. What you're not going to use is powdered detergents because those are full of salts.
All right, and so the salt will build up over time is the problem, and so then you might have to flush it out with more water or something because, well, so let me give you an example. I was living at a house where I was sharing the house with several people, and I ran the wash water out to this grapevine, and because there were so many people using the wash water, the grapevine grew over the garage, but, you know, you're also seeing on the grapevine there's a bunch of white powder that I believe was from the soap that we were using.
That would be a different issue. That would be like a powdery mildew. And so when you're irrigating...
No, this wasn't powdery mildew.
It'd be some other... Grapes get different kind of powdery diseases. You wouldn't see... So the plant isn't going to take up the soap and have it come out its leaves. That's just not how it works.
But it's going to grow more. Phosphates make more is what a plant uses to make leaf material, generally in gardening, is what a high phosphate fertilizer. So it is going to tend to make more leaf.
Yeah, and your gray water won't really have phosphates in it because they're banned from products in this area.
Right. Okay, but...
But it will have, yeah, giving it a lot of water and a little more nutrients will definitely, you'll see good growth of your plants. I've seen many plants really thrive with gray water.
Okay, so if we use wash gray water that we have the correct soap in, what does that do for the plants then?
It's just a source of water, so you can think of it, I mean, there's ways you have to manage it differently. Can't go through a regular irrigation system because it will clog it. So there's ways to distribute it in the landscape that's a little differently to avoid clogging. But other than that, it's just water if you're using the right products. And your plants, when they get good irrigation and dry climate during our dry summers, they are really happy. So it's a great way to keep your plants thriving in a dry climate without using extra potable water.
Right, and even though we have a lot of rain here in Oregon, we still have a sort of a water shortage here. So it helps to, you don't want to waste water by just, and there's a concept they call flush and forget, that we have this attitude toward these things that we're so detached from our water supplies that we don't realize how important it is to manage these things.
Yeah.
Because like, for instance, there's a concept in permaculture that they're saying, make running water walk, make walking water stand still, because you're trying to soak it back into the aquifer. So what does this do that? Does this help our aquifers?
Yeah, so gray water, it does a couple of things. It's a great way to conserve water. And in Mediterranean climates where you have a rainy season and a dry season, the dry season around here is when the plants really grow and it's warmer and you need more water. So when we're using water that we already used, we're getting a double use out of it. So that can cut back on how much water we're bringing into our homes. Because now instead of using like a certain number of gallons to wash your laundry plus gallons to water your fruit trees, now you're taking that laundry water and going straight to your fruit trees. So you get the benefit of less water is being needed in the dry season. The other benefit in this area is for fish, like the rivers, they get warm, the flows are lower and it's warmer. And when we're discharging gray water to like our wastewater treatment plant and they clean it and they put it back in the river, that water is warmer than it would be otherwise. And that's not good for fish. So if we can keep that warm water out of the rivers and put it into our landscapes and grow food or shelter or habitat or shade, then we're getting all of these benefits with that water instead of having it cause a problem somewhere else.
And so that's just it, too, is now I have to build, it might save us from building more sewage treatment plants, too. We don't have to build, if the city has to treat less water, they don't have to build such large-scale treatment plants. And this happened to me in 29 Palms. They were going to charge everybody, I think they did finally charge everybody $1,000, which would be like $100. They were going to assess them $100 a year to redo the septic system because... And this is getting into black water, I understand, but mm-hmm. what they were claiming was that they were finding nitrites in the well water in 29 Palms, which, and the well is like 2,000 feet down. Mm-hmm. So the septic guy there was saying that that's coming from agricultural water up above. So I don't know where I'm going with that, is just that the gray water does not affect, it doesn't poison the aquifer even over long period of time. You'd have to dump a lot of gray water to hurt the aquifer.
Yeah, and so we always want to protect our aquifers. And with gray water, there's ways to make sure you're not too close to a well or too close to a high groundwater table. So when gray water flows through soil, it's the nutrients and any contaminants in it are used up and decomposed in the soil. But what you're bringing up is, you know, we have these standard ways of doing things like a septic system, a well, sewer treatment plant, and they don't always work as we intend. You know, the intention is to protect our water and protect human health, but we're coming up against a lot of limitations because there's too many demands on them, and some of them just aren't really functioning very well. And it's very expensive to fix these existing infrastructures. Gray water is a great example of something that many people can do. Of course, it depends on your site. It's like one tool in the toolbox, that plus rainwater, plus maybe waterless toilets, ways to to safely process our human manure in other ways than septics or sewer treatment plants. You know, there's all these different strategies, and it's important for us to have that information and look at, you know, where is this going to work best? Because there are alternatives, and maybe in some communities, gray water is really going to cut way back and grow all these, you know, things that are needed. Maybe other communities, it's not going to work as well. But it's a great tool, and it can work in many places.
Right, and so I thought that you couldn't grow... just to make it clear, there are pathogens in this, so you want to research this stuff a little bit. But because, for instance, Montezuma's Revenge in Mexico, they are used to the bacteria. They put human effluent on their farms down mm-hmm. there, and they're used to that bacteria. Is why we get Montezuma's Revenge. Is what my understanding is. So. The pathogens in gray water are different, or are there no pathogens in gray water, or are they different than black water?
Humans give humans, there's human transmitted diseases, and there's human fecal transmitted diseases. And mostly that comes from black water, because when you poop in water, and then now that water is spreading out, and if there are viruses or bacteria that cause illness in humans in that water, it's much easier for another human to contact that and get sick. That's why gray water, gray water is not toilet water. Gray water is just showers, sinks, washing machines. It could have a small amount of fecal matter, like washing underwear or, you know, washing a body. But the amount of it is so much smaller than what's going down the toilet. So it's not that there's no risk. It's that the risk is much, much, much smaller. When you speak of pathogens, you know, someone has to be sick first. Like, there's not just pathogens, like, spontaneously generating in our dirty water or our feces, you know, that someone has to actually be sick. So when you're looking at gray water from one person, their family, they live in a house together, it goes in their own landscape. If they're going to get each other sick, probably that's happening in their home because they're sharing dishes and doorknobs and beds and touching each other. You know, that's where people transmit diseases, not really through a gray water system. That said, if you're looking at a gray water system from like an apartment building with, you know, 70 units and it's going out on a playground where all these different people might play, that's where the risk greatly increases. And so the kind of system that could accomplish that safely is going to look very different than a home scale, simple gray water system.
All right. But you are running it then directly to your vegetable garden with no problems, basically.
So it's, you want to consider it dirty water. You don't want it directly ingest it. You also don't want it to touch the part of the food you're going to eat. So safety rules are no root vegetables. If you're watering like a fruit tree, the gray water is going down into the roots. The food is above the ground. There's no direct touching between like the apple and the water in the roots. So
you don't want
safe.
It to splash on any
exactly.
of the fruit or the vegetables.
Yeah, you're not spraying it. You're not like throwing it on in the air on your plants. Vegetable gardens, there's nothing inherently, you know, wrong with watering like corn or tomatoes with gray water because the food is above the ground, but it's just logistically harder to spread out the water to a lot of places like a vegetable garden needs. So that's why it's really best suited for bigger plants like your trees, your bushes. If you don't have those, then you can consider how you can make it work for larger vegetables.
Well, I've seen people who actually have some ponds. Too, a little filtering, like the fish don't work, but you can have like a lily pads, little bathtubs with ponds in them if you're, because you're going to have a lot of water now, depending on how big your family is. Even me as a single person, I've got a lot of water I'm dealing with from my gray water system.
Yeah, and so you bring up something that people do, but I don't recommend it. So with gray water, what the best, in my opinion, and I've been using gray water for over 20 years, I've written 2 books on it. I've taught, you know, many workshops and trainings, and I've lived with it in my own home and several homes and, you know, built systems with groups, done studies. So I have a lot of experience. And what I recommend now after all those years and all that experience is in your own home, you take your gray water and you send it right out below ground to your plants. You don't have a pond. You know, ponds are, they're totally disallowed by every single state code. They are a place people can access the water. It's not that you can't clean, you can clean gray water, say, you know, with plants and it can work really well, but most people don't. It's usually really gross. And
right, because there's water plants that will clean the water.
Yes, that is true. I mean, you can use ponds for cleaning black water, and there's all sorts of ways that nature cleans water. That is completely true. And at the same time, it's not a good idea to try to replicate in your own home, unless you are maybe a professional and you're trying to, you know, do some prototyping or and you're testing it and you're like really on top of it and there's no way children can fall in the pond, etc. It's not as efficient way to use the water. It's not, it really freaks out health officials, and we really, I personally want everyone to be on board that this is a great resource and we should be using it safely. Ponds are not that way. So
so you're not going to have too much water then?
You want to design your system to manage the water that you have. So with the simple gray water, the kind of sophistication happens in your design. So you look at how much water on average is being produced in this home and how much the plants want, and then you match the need, the quantity of water to the needs of the plants, and you divide it up through pipes and tubing, and there's different ways to do it, but a pond is not part of that.
All right, so that brings me to what is involved in the permit. Are there pumps involved in a gray water system, or
should we pause for that?
The 9:30, yeah.
Hold on for the
9:30 train.
Oh, it's right on schedule.
Yeah, this is, it's...
And rainwater ponds are a great idea. That's like a... So if you want a pond, ponds are amazing. I was going to say, like, use your rainwater to fill your pond, not your grape.
Well, but that's just it. Why is that? Because there's enough stuff in the water that it wouldn't make it good for a pond.
No, it's...
Well, hold on. Okay. All right, so... And I'm here, I'm talking with Laura Allen. We just had a train go by from the Graywater Action... is it Graywater Action?
Graywater Action.
And they'll help you, advise you on putting a gray water system in. All right, so let's get into details of what is someone going to entail when they get into a gray water system. Is it this complicated Rube Goldberg? You're making it, it kind of sounds like, and we're, you know, I have some misconceptions about gray water that she's clearing up for me. So please take her advice and not mine on gray water, but. What is it that people are going to get into? Is it a Rube Goldberg contraption with a bunch of pipes and pumps everywhere, or is it just a simple perforated pipe? What are people going to see when they get a gray water system?
Yeah, well, there's many ways to use gray water. So I'll tell you my favorite way. It's from the laundry machine. You do have to have a washing machine for this, which has a pump in it. And so you can use that pump to your advantage to actually pump out the water to where you want it to go. And you can tap into it without changing your household plumbing, which is a big advantage because sometimes a house, it's really easy to get to the plumbing and change things. Other times it's very difficult, very expensive. With the laundry machine, you don't have to do that. So if you're standing in front of your machine, there's a discharge hose where the dirty water pumps out. You literally just pick that up, grab it. It's usually sticking in a standpipe or into a utility sink, and you can hold it, and you're going to connect a diverter valve right to that discharge hose of the machine. That valve will be mounted by your machine, and it allows you to send the water back to where it used to go, wherever that was, sewer or septic. And then when you turn the handle of your valve, now it's going to go out to your new gray water system, which you build. And so you use a series of tubes and pipes to send that water out to your landscape. So when the machine is now pumping out water, you're using gray water friendly soaps. It's now going directly out. Maybe you've determined you can water 5 fruit trees, and it's watering your 5 fruit trees. In the landscape, you have created what's called a mulch basin. So basically, if you have, let's say there's an apple tree that you're watering. In front of the apple tree, you have created an in-ground filter using wood chips. It's very simple and it works very well. You just dig a little trench kind of in the drip line of the tree, like where the branches end. Dig a little trench, fill it with wood chips, and that's where your gray water is going to flow through. It filters out lint and debris. It can kind of flow out into that basin and slowly sink down over time. And now you've created like a watering trough for your tree. So every time you do laundry, now your tree plus the others are going to be getting irrigation.
All right. And so how much of that is permitted, though?
So in Oregon, and permits vary completely, are different state by state. So Oregon, you fill out a form. On Gray Water Action's website, we have what's, I'll call it a standard plan. It's basically like our interpretation of the Oregon code, and we worked with the state. You know, they have kind of signed off on it, and we work together to create like a fill-in-the-blank form for people. So the information they need, like where is the property and how much water and where are you sending it, and kind of basic info like are there any drinking water wells, and if so, you need to be a certain distance away from them, and are there any creeks, and if so, you need to be a certain distance away. So it gets that information so your system is going to work well and not cause any problems. And then you mail it in to the state, and then they give you the permit.
All right, so they're not telling you to use Schedule 40 pipe or black pipe or what?
Not really, not in Oregon.
Literally, I could use a garden hose. I mean, it's not big enough diameter.
Right. So yeah, you can use materials as long as it's going to work for your system. If you are getting into, so that's the laundry system. So then let's say you want to use your shower water. So now you're actually cutting into your plumbing. So that's where things can get more tricky because you have to alter your home plumbing. If you're a plumber, that's not hard to do. If you're not a plumber, it may be quite challenging depending on what your house, you know, how old your house is, how it was built, just all those variables. But let's say you can easily get in there. You put in a diverter valve, kind of same concept. It's a different piece. It's like bigger. Everything's bigger because now you're in drainage plumbing and you can control the flow. So one way it goes to the sewer or septic, turn the handle, or you have a remote switch that turns the handle because it might be under your house. Flip the switch, turns the handle. Now it's flowing outside. Sometimes you can use gravity to distribute the water with showers. So if your yard is downward sloping, you have gravity on your side, so you can flow it out by gravity. Sometimes you don't, so you might need to have a small tank and a pump that will pump it out, like if your yard goes uphill or if you have to cross over like a really big flat area first before you get to your plants. And so there are ways to have a relatively simple pump system.
Doesn't the pumps, though, you may have to clean it out occasionally. There's stuff gets in the bottom of the pump.
Yeah, every time you add a component, you add a potential failure point and a potential maintenance point. So yes, pumps eventually are going to break. You want to pick one that's going to be pretty long lasting and is made for pumping dirty water. So you definitely want to get a good strong pump.
All right, and I've had an experience with the washing machine too, where there's a level that the pump needs. So if you take that pipe and the little rubber pipe that comes out of a washing machine, and you put it too high or too low, the level inside the washing machine, it uses that to sense the level of the water inside the washing machine. So you still have to keep that pipe that's coming out of the... My own experience, mm-hmm. Anyway, you got to keep that pipe level in the washing machine.
Yeah, there's several details like that, for example, of where what level you should be putting in your diverter valve. And we have a manual that's a free download on our website in English and Spanish. So you can download and it has, you know, all of those details. I mean, there's... you know, many more things you need to think about, like how far can you go and what turns do you make and how do you prevent clogging? You know, those are things that would be just so boring to talk about on the radio, but they're important. So I recommend going to our website. We have this downloadable manual. There's some videos.
Graywateraction.org.
Graywateraction.org. Yeah. We also have it in Chinese. So there's Chinese, Spanish, English, and there's some videos about it, you know, so you can see what it looks like. So get resources. I did mention I have some books. I have two how-to books, and they're available at the library, so that can really walk you through it.
Well, because I just mean you don't want to rely on your washing machine pump. You're going to end up with the Maytag repairman out there if you're using the pump to... You're just getting the pump from the washing machine down to the ground, basically. You're not using it to pump the water through your yard.
So with the washing machine pump, most of them are rated to pump up 8 feet high, kind of designed where somebody has a shallow basement and they're pumping up to their sewer line. So instead of pumping up 8 feet high, if you're on a single story or if you're, you know, elevated above your yard, you can pump flat. So it's like a calculation, elevation versus friction in a horizontal pipe.
Right.
So what's generally safe is at least you can go at least 50 feet flat. So you can actually rely on the pump to send water through a 1-inch pipe 50 feet across a flat yard.
Neat. All right. And all this is on your website.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sorry to belabor this, but I was told by public officials, okay, mm-hmm. that there are pathogens in gray water and that this is why you need to bury it underground. So you're saying equivocally or categorically that is not true. There are no pathogens.
No,
at least not dangerous to humans gray water.
So, you know, pathogens, first someone has to be sick and then it's in the water and then someone else gets contact to it. You don't know. I mean, you want to look at gray water and say that is not potable water. Like, I shouldn't drink that. I don't want unintentioned contact with the water. For example, children, don't want ponds, puddles, growing mosquitoes. There's all these things. You wanted to be cautious with it. That said, it is not the same as toilet water. So the level of potential risk is much lower. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, like you're saying, there might be urine, at low levels of urine. It's okay to urinate in the shower when you have a gray water system. I'm not trying to be funny. That you can't.
Yeah,
people are going to urinate while they're in the shower.
Yeah, it's feces. Just that's the concern. That's where, you know, cholera, typhoid fever, all these like big diseases that are very harmful. They're transmitted through feces, not through other things.
And none of that is a concern with gray water. I just want to make clear.
No, it's not that none of it. It's just that, like, you know, someone's washing underwear, there could be trace amounts, or in the shower, it's trace amounts versus like what you're putting in the toilet. So the level is just much lower. That's why you want to be cautious with gray water.
Right. I guess the point I'm saying is black water is much more dangerous than gray water.
Yes.
And so this is why we're trying to encourage people to do the gray water system.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is it's not really that. You'd have to work at it to be dangerous with gray water.
Well, what I like to tell people is with really simple, common sense, precautionary design flaws, you can have a safe system that's watering your plants, that not people aren't contacting the water unless you're doing maintenance on it. So yeah, it's really easy to have a safe, functional system that's going to give you a lot of benefits.
All right, and just I don't have to use the natural earth soaps that are just telluride sulfate in them. I notice that you get it, you know, that you pay a little more for. I don't have to use those environmental soaps.
I can use
Arm & Hammer.
So what you don't want to use are salts and boron, and you want to have it to be biodegradable. There are a lot of options. What I found is that people, when they're putting in a gray water, it's the first time for many people who've really looked at what's in their soaps and products. And I tell people to look at, it's called Skin Deep. It's a cosmetic database. Environmental Working Group has this big database of products. And you can put in any product you like, shampoo, conditioner, whatever, and it will tell you what ingredients are in it and rate it for toxicity to humans. So gray water is like a good time to think about what's in our products and are they healthy for us, which is not necessarily the same consideration about is it healthy for my tree out there, but it's a good time to just choose healthier products for us and for the environment.
All right, and I'm trying to wrap it up, but you mentioned boron. I assume that's coming from borax.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't be using borax.
Exactly.
Even though I use it as an alternative to bleach, and bleach is another no-no.
You can use hydrogen peroxide bleach, or with these valves, you can always shut off your system. So if there's something you want to use on occasion, you can just turn off your system.
All right, but bleach does break down, mm-hmm. if you dilute it enough, too. It's not going to hurt your plants.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend people don't use chlorine bleach in their system.
Right.
Again, you know, on occasion, it's not going to hurt anything.
All right, so I've been talking with Laura Allen of graywateraction.org, and they have a huge resource for you to start a gray water system. So can you tell us more about that, how you help people directly?
Yeah, you can go to our website. We have a lot of information on the website. We have a forum where you can ask questions and get personal help eventually, or maybe quickly. It depends on, it's all, you know, that part's all volunteer. And we do occasionally do in-person classes as well as online classes. And there's some online course classes that you can, you know, start and do on your own. So there are a lot of resources available.
All right, so gray water, it's not just for deserts anymore. You can use it up here in Oregon. I mean, and this is very important that we start using this even in Oregon in a rainy place, right? Any last comment on that, how important it is to use right now?
It's important to protect our, you know, our waters and our rivers, and gray water can be one great way to do it. And there's other ways too, you know, indoor conservation, making our landscapes more water-wise and climate-friendly is another great thing we can do.
All right, Laura Allen from Gray Water Action, thank you very much for your time and your great work.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Laura from graywateraction.org. Please support graywateraction.org and start your own gray water system, and don't be so detached from your water. So coming up right now, a special report from a member of El Shabaab. And it's important to remember that these counterinsurgency groups and guerrilla groups, most of them are created by U.S. foreign economic policy, U.S. corporate foreign economic policy. And then after that, the Chinese spacecraft that crashed into the moon And an exclusive here, legal scholar Arthur Kirkland on the Epstein files and trials, and a Russian correspondent on the drone war in Ukraine. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
Stick 'em up, train. Come on! Olé!
Stick 'em up, stagecoach.
Come on! Olé!
Stick 'em up, banker.
Come on! Olé!
Stick 'em up, please. Smoke, if you wish.
Come on!
Hickabongs are thick as flies around here.
Kabong!
Hey, watch it, will you, quick straw?
Gosh, I'm sorry, Baba Louie. I was overcome by a kabongin' frenzy.
Earth calling Bugs Bunny. Earth calling Bugs Bunny. Are you there? Come in. Over.
Over. Where is everybody? Huh? Where is it? I'm alone. I'm alone on the moon. I'm alone on the moon. Well, anyway, I'm the first living creature to set foot on the moon. Brainy little guy. Probably get ahead in the moon. Pardon me for bothering you, Marconi, but did you say you was going to blow up the Earth?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said. Well, adios. One man's meat is another man's poison, I always say. After all, it's his business if he wants to blow up the Earth. Whoa! You can't do that. All the people I know are on the Earth. The nerve of this character.
Oh, dear. This is most inconvenient. Now I'll have to call out the reserves. Go get that Earth creature and bring back the uranium PL-36 explosive space modulator.
Calling! Bugs Bunny to Earth! Bugs Bunny to Earth! Come in, Earth! Urgent! Urgent! SOS! Roger! Wilco! Over.
Crummy crunchies are the best. Look delicious on your vest. Serve them to unwanted guests. Stuff the mattress with the rest.
Well, what are you made up for? Catch the fugitive from the dog star. Hey, what's the big idea? Give me that!
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, no, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Oh, no, you won't.
You take her or I'll shove it down your throat.
Okay, you big bully. I'll take it this time, if you're going to be nasty about it. But I'm going to tell my big brother, and he'll fix you up, boy. Yeah.
I guess I shot him. I guess he won't try to get away with anything with me again. Hey!
You dickhead. I didn't know you cared. No, no, don't leave. There's a beautiful Earth out tonight. You make me very angry. Very angry. Special delivery from Mars. Oh, goody. Another uranium peel 36 explosive space modulator. Isn't that wonderful? Now we can blow up the Earth.
Earth calling Bugs Bunny. Earth calling Bugs Bunny. Are you there? Are you there?
Come in, Bugs Bunny. Over.
Bugs Bunny to Earth. Yeah, I'm here. Over.
Earth calling. Did you arrive safely on the moon? Over.
Bugs to Earth. Yeah, I'm on the moon. Over. Shh.
Have you prepared a statement for the press?
Well, yes. I have prepared a statement. Get me out of here!
Your Honor, Mr. Foreman, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my name is Arthur Kirkland, and I am the defense counsel for the defendant, Judge Henry T. Fleming. Now that man over there, he's the prosecuting attorney, and he couldn't be happier. He is a happy man today because today he's going after a judge. And if he gets him, he's going to be a star. He's going to have his name in this month's law review, Centerfold, Lawyer of the Month. Now, in order to win this case, he needs you, naturally. You're all he's got, believe me. So he's counting on tapping that emotion in you which says, let's get somebody in power. Let's get a judge. However, these proceedings are not about that. These proceedings are here to see that justice is done. And justice is, as any reasonable person would tell you, the finding of the truth. And what is the truth today? One truth, a tragic one, is that that girl has been beaten and raped. Another truth is that the prosecution doesn't have a witness, does not have one piece of substantiating evidence other than the testimony of the victim herself. Another truth is that my client voluntarily, and the prosecution is well aware of this fact, voluntarily took a lie detector test.
Objection, Your Honor, that's inadmissible evidence.
What?
Come on, Arthur.
Tell the truth.
The jury will disregard that remark. Polygraph tests have not been proven 100% reliable, therefore inadmissible in a court of law.
Sorry, Your Honor. Let's get back to justice. What is justice? What is the intention of justice? The intention of justice is to see that the guilty people are proven guilty and that the innocent are freed. Simple, isn't it? Only it's not that simple. However, it is the defense counselor's duty to protect the rights of the individual, as it is the prosecution's duty to uphold and defend the laws of the state. Justice for all. Only we have a problem here. You know what it is? Both sides want to win. We want to win. We want to win regardless of the truth, and we want to win regardless of justice, regardless of who's guilty or innocent. Winning is everything. That man there wants a win so badly today. It means so much to him. He is so carried away with the prospect of winning, the idea, that he forgot something that's absolutely essential to today's proceedings. He forgot his case. He forgot to bring it. I don't know. I don't see it. Do you? The prosecution's case. He's got to have one. Not a witness. Not one piece of substantiating evidence other than the testimony of the victim herself. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a case to end all cases. I have witnesses for my client. I have character references, testimonials that are backed up from here to Washington, D.C. I got lie detector tests that have been...
Objection!
Objection to state.
Sit down, Frank.
Mr. Kirkland, you are out of order.
The one thing that bothered me, the one thing that stayed in my mind and I couldn't get rid of it, that haunted me, was why. Why would she lie? What was her motive for lying? If my client is innocent, she's lying. Why? Was it blackmail? No. Was it jealousy? No. Yesterday, I found out why. She doesn't have a motive. You know why? Because she's not lying. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him. My client, the Honorable Henry T. Fleming, should go right to fucking jail! The son of a bitch is guilty! That man is guilty! That man there! That man is a slime! He is a slime! If he's allowed to go free, then something really wrong is going on.
Mr. Kirkland, you are out of order.
You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order. They're out of order. That man, that sick,
all right,
crazy, depraved man, raped and beat that woman there, and he'd like to do it again. He told me so. It's just a show. It's a show. It's... Let's make a deal! Let's make a deal! Hey, Frank! You want to make a deal? I got an insane judge who likes to beat the shit out of women. What do you want to give me, Frank? 3 weeks probation?
Damn it!
You son of a bitch! You're supposed to stand for something! You're supposed to protect people! But instead, you fucking murder them! You killed McCullough! You killed him! Hold it! Hold it! I've just completed my opening statement!
This report about the penultimate truth about the drone war in Ukraine from Ukrainian reporter Filipov K. Dikiev.
Most of humanity living in tanks underground, producing weapons and robots to send to the surface, constantly lied to by their televisions, they continue in their deprivations for the good of winning a war that is long over. A perfect parable of how the elites hoard not only wealth and power, but inevitably knowledge. While people outside the special cliques march on obliviously, not even knowing enough about the real world to make proper decisions. A 1964 novel which prophetically begins with key words being fed to an AI so it can produce a speech. A humanoid robot more human than human, permanently affixed to a desk, giving the perfect speech delivery. As always, a world of humans living a lie. Philip K. Dick, the penultimate truth.